No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Captain Keith not with us. He's on the lam or something. I don't know. What kind of excuse does he have this week, Ed? What do you think?
Well, the same thing I usually have. Work. Something you're just not familiar with.
Work? You have never used that excuse in the past. At least we haven't.
No. That would be you have never used that excuse.
I remember the drunk tank. I remember on the lam. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, not me.
All right. But in Keith's
maybe
case,
you.
In Keith's case, it could be.
Nope.
No, you're not going to go there. You,
nope.
You are so politically correct, it's annoying.
Good.
You really want
to... I like being annoying.
Why wouldn't you possibly take this opportunity to throw your cohort under the bus?
Because he would take this opportunity, so I'm taking the high road.
Is that how you look at it?
Yes.
I think you're just way too vulnerable. You know, nice guys finish last. They end up on the runway, blocked by other airplanes. I don't know. Something like that. You think?
Nope.
Okay. Well, there you go. He's a positive thinker, and we'll take it for what it's worth.
Hey, I'm only here to trash you.
Oh, you're going to trash me?
Yeah.
Hey, dude, you need to step off because see that book right next to you right there?
Yeah.
I'm in it. There's a new book called Lionfish. And the title has no connection with me personally, but it's Lionfish, L-Y-I-N. It's a play on the lionfish that is an invasive species off the, in the oceans now and places they're not supposed to be. But it's a dive-related story based in the Florida Keys.
Yeah, you were talking about this a while back.
Yeah, and the guy who wrote the book, a friend of mine named Eric Douglas, who's friends with us from our scuba radio show that we do about diving, incorporated myself and some of our other scuba radio characters into this work of fiction. And so I am actually featured in this book as one of the characters because, the story in a nutshell is basically someone down in the Florida Keys impersonates me. He's lying and pretending is me. Believe it or not.
Why would he want to do that?
As far-fetched as that sounds.
He obviously didn't check your bank account.
Yeah. And so anyway, he does this, but I have to go in there and save the day and say, hey, no, I'm the real Greg, blah, blah, blah. And so I go in there and I save the day, but I arrive on a Quest Kodiak on floats with my crew. I fly them in on my private plane.
Oh, so this is fiction.
Well, it's a...
This might even be considered science fiction.
This is a glimpse into the future, Ed.
Oh.
That's how I'm looking at it.
That's what I was saying. It was science fiction. It was told in the future.
Okay, you can look at it that way. But no, this is in the immediate future because this is going to happen. This is where you... This is one of those motivational things where you, like, say, okay, I am going to make a drawing and this is going to be me a year from now. You know what I'm saying? Except it's a book, and there's no pictures.
I noticed that there were no pictures.
Yeah.
So how'd you read it?
Well, that's...
Did somebody read it to you?
Books on tape. Yeah. It's an e-book, by the way. You can check it out at booksbyeric.com. It's on. It's available on Amazon. Paperback.
Everything's available on Amazon.
Well, right. In paperback or as an e-book.
Cool.
But Lionfish, L-Y-I-N, Fish. Just do that by Eric Douglas.
Okay.
Anyway, so, I fly in and I save the day. I get the bad guys, the whole thing on this Quest Kodiak. So, when he wrote this book, he asked me a bunch of questions because he told me he wanted to do this. He came up with the storyline and the characters and just incorporated, some real elements into this work of fiction. But he asked me, what kind of plane would you have your crew fly in on? And I said, well, look, we've met these guys at Sun and Fun a few times. We saw them at Air Venture again. This Quest Kodiak is an airplane that I find very attractive for my mission accomplished type of, my mission goal of learning to fly a plane. And that is having a plane that I could take like four or five people in with dive gear, travel out to the Caribbean, have it on floats possibly, and dive right out of the airplane if I, you know, wanted to do so. And that plane in particular has a really good, takeoff and landing is remarkable as far as for the size of airplane and carry capacity.
Yeah. It's a short field airplane.
Yeah, it's like an off-road, you know, type of, carrier. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can carry a lot of stuff in it and give me a little room to work with, my staff and the whole thing. And still looks fairly, just like an overgrown 172 to me.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever been in one to fly?
No, I've never flown one.
Well, see, I talked to the Quest people this week.
Yo,
so I called them.
Look out.
I said, look, there's a book, and we're in the book, and I'm in a Quest Kodiak. Doesn't that count for something? And, of course, they said no. But
nope.
We will talk to you about it anyway. So they're right now doing their due diligence and reading up on lionfish, finding out what this nonsense is all about.
Okay.
And then hopefully next week we're going to talk to someone from Quest about them making this.
So now is their due diligence going to include looking at your bank account?
No.
Okay, then they'll still call.
Yeah. Yeah. It has nothing to do with money. This is purely,
they think they got a sale here.
No, this has nothing to do with that. This has to do with, they see what I want to achieve and they're going to help me, find a pathway to making that a reality. This is how you got to set goals.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
Ed?
I agree. You do have to have goals.
And we've talked about this on the on the show before about whether or not, would I need to get my private pilot certificate and then jump up to flying like a Quest Kodiak, which is like twice the size as a Cessna 172 at least. Well,
yeah,
it's like the...
Probably three times, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big plane, but it flies kind of the same, doesn't it?
Actually, you'd find it, not having flown it, but just understanding the airplane, yeah, straightforward airplane.
So my question has been on the air before was, do I need to get my private pilot certificate on a much smaller plane and then jump up to this, or just go right to the gust, go right to the big boy? And if this is the plane I want to have, this is the plane I ought to learn in, and this is the plane I ought to fly around and know backwards and forwards as opposed to, taking a step up to it eventually.
Well, there's a couple ways to look at that. And
yeah.
In general, I like people to learn in a basic airplane like a 172.
Yeah.
Then for their instrument rating, move up to something they're going to fly on a regular basis.
Okay. Well, that
now,
makes sense.
I have taken people into their 182s or their 206s before they've gotten their private, did their training, finished their check ride in one of those airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
You run into insurance issues with soloing them. You run into insurance issues with getting them any insurance before they're a certified pilot in some cases. I think you'd probably run into problems with that with the Quest Kodiak because of, its purchase price. And I've said it many times, the FAA doesn't run the industry, the insurance companies do. And what they allow us to do is sometimes different than what the FAA will allow us to do. But with that said, yes, the more time you can get with an instructor on board that airplane that you're going to be spending all those hours in, yes, I think that is a very valuable thing to do.
Well, you know where I am in my flight training, which is
nowhere.
Okay. Well, but I've gotten through like the first, let's say, three-fourths of the flight training, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And so I really just got the last part, but, it's been a while now. I'm going to have to go back and do refreshers and all that kind of stuff. And I'm glad I did it in a Cessna 172. But I am wondering if we could get around this insurance issue if I did go back to my flight training and we got Quest to give me a plane, like I know they will since there's a book, that we could finish this up finally once and for all and make it happen. Would that be the way to go? Would if in a perfect world? I mean, it sounds very cool to me.
It
but
sounds
you're the flight instructor.
Very cool. Could it be done? Yes, it could be done.
Yeah.
As far as the technical side of it, yes, absolutely, it could be done.
Mm-hmm. But you think it's going to be an insurance issue.
I think it's going to be an insurance
issue. Because they aren't going to like the fact that I'm flying the plane and I'm not a private pilot yet, that I'm using it for training.
Because you still have solo hours to do.
Yeah.
That would be very, they would be requiring maybe 50 hours of training before I let you solo the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I still think it would be best to complete the rating and make a jump like that.
Okay.
And, you know, the other thing is they're going to take one look at you and say, this is not a private pilot's airplane. And your insurance, even after having the private pilot in that size airplane because of the number of seats available, will get a little pricey.
Well, we can take the seats out of it. You can do that in these planes.
No, you actually can.
Yeah.
They're versatile.
All right. So there. We've got a plan. We're going to make it reality. Coming up next, we got someone who's going to join us who's found a unique alternative to the $100 hamburger. That's coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can never be with someone who likes Joni Mitchell. It's Cloud's Illusions, I recall. I really don't know clowns at all. What does that mean? Is she a pilot? Is she taking flying lessons? It must be a metaphor for something, but I don't know what it is.
I just want to fly. I come burning out the sky up so high. Put your arms around me, baby. Put your arms around me.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. And joining us via the web, we got our good buddy Dennis, who has an interesting take on the $100 hamburger, or maybe just a better alternative that he told me about this week. And I said, well, hey, you've got to come on board and share that with the rest of the world, because this was kind of a new thing for me. So you and your son hopped in your plane, and instead of getting a $100 hamburger, you went and did some home improvement. Is that what it was, Dennis, or what?
Home improvement?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you got to go find something to go do. You're just getting in the airplane just to go burn three holes in the sky to be current isn't you know, quite as much fun. And I decided I needed to go out and get a couple of night landings in. And instead of just, you know, beating around the pattern, we decided to head about 20 miles northwest of the city here, where we're, you know, getting away from some of the lights and actually get some more realistic or some better night landings, you know, because a lot of the ambient light around the airport can be you know, even in the middle of the night, it's still like dusk at you know, at some airports. So we headed up outside of the Minneapolis area here and landed at a little airport called Buffalo, Minnesota. And it turns out there's a large home improvement superstore, one of the regional chains, that is actually right on the edge of the airport property. So we parked the plane, got over, and were able to walk directly into the lumber yard and into the building.
How about that?
Did a little shopping, went across the street to the convenience store and got a dollar corn dog and a soda and, you know, picked up the parts we needed to fix the lawn and got back in the plane and finished up our landings and went home.
All right, so you get a $2 corn dog, well, with a drink.
No, they're only a dollar.
Yeah, well, plus the drink. Well, and then you used $98 to spend on home improvement stuff and threw it back in the plane and flew home?
Yeah, pretty much.
Very nice. I've never heard of that kind of thing.
That is a unique
spin on the
$100 hamburger.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, you need to mix things up. And I'm like you, Dennis. I'm very mission based. You know. Obviously, you have to do, you know, your night flights and landings to stay current and that kind of thing. But yeah, just going up and bouncing around the pattern. I mean, that can be fun. But you're right. It'd be kind of neat if you can kind of, you know, knock two birds out with one stone or something like that. Well, we don't really want to knock any birds out when we're flying. But you know what I'm trying to say. I guess.
But I prefer to fly for a purpose. I mean, just going up and doing three landings in the pattern, yes, it meets the requirements for the FAA, but honestly, does it make the requirements for you as a pilot? I mean, it's a lot more challenging when you have to actually leave the terminal area, go on a little bit of a cross country, find the field when it's pitch black and not well lit. And, you know, that to me is a far better training and practice experience than just going out and doing three landings.
Well, that makes sense to me. What about you, Mr. Instructor?
Absolutely.
Do you encourage that?
I love that idea.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's absolutely right on, you know, you go to an unfamiliar airport at night, which may be a little bit easier to do in the daytime. Nighttime adds its own level of complication. And as you've seen when doing your dual night flights, the airport, even though you're on downwind, sometimes you look over, you can't even see the runway because of all the other lights in town. So going out to a darker area, it provides additional illusions. Mm-hmm. And so it really, you know, yeah, it is true currency. And, I always say there's a difference between what the FAA calls currency and true proficiency. And that's what Dennis is talking about here, is he was doing stuff to make himself truly proficient at this.
I got it. Well, that does make sense. Now, and it's something you could incorporate into your flight training as an instructor by telling your students, like, hey, I want you to fly into this Buffalo airport. I need some paint for my living room and some brushes. Pick me up a water filter or two and, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
and then when you get done, I need you to do the fence. And there's a spot under the window in the kitchen that needs to get done, too.
Exactly. Get some, you know, some of that spacula stuff. I don't know what the heck it is. I don't do any of this.
Obviously.
It's what a handyman's for. Anyway, so, but yeah.
If they don't find you handsome, at least they can find you handy.
Remember? Yeah, well, okay, you say so. Yeah, all right. So did you learn a few things, too? Any surprises in the flight, or was it just a fun little exercise?
It was a fun little exercise, but it was surprising. You know, we tuned up the AWOS and were able to get the weather information on the field, and they were only calling for like 5 knots of wind. But in the pattern, when we turned a crosswind, we had almost a 45-degree crab angle to stay lined up on base. It's like, wow, it was very significant, you know, just up above the ground. But down at field level, it was almost trivial.
Yeah. Well, did the folks at the home improvement store say, hey, you need any help with that, sir? Take it out of your car and load it up for you?
And no, but like, they were a little confused while we were, you know, why are you exiting through the lumber yard and where's your car? Can we look in your bag? Where's your receipt?
Yeah. So it wasn't a common occurrence there for the local home improvement center, I'm guessing.
No, probably not. But I think I'm going to have to start spreading the word, at least in our club. It's like, hey, if you need to go run to Menards, why don't you incorporate into an hour in the airplane and get some proficiency at the same time?
Yeah. And pick up a corn dog. Why not?
As long as you don't need to get, you know, 8-foot-long 2x4.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of hard to get into the
airplane.
Piece
of plywood might be an issue, depending on the plane, but, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wish I still had the access to the Beaver that we had when I worked up in Ely, Minnesota. We could actually put 8-foot 2x4s into the tail cone through the fishing rod holder, or just strap them to the struts. Yep.
Yeah.
That was fun.
What were you flying in this particular case? What was it again?
We had a Cessna 172.
Oh, okay. All right. So you heard me talking about the Quest Kodiak. You'd fly something like that too, wouldn't you?
I'd love to.
Yeah. So my plan to learn right on that, you know, go right to that. You like that idea too, Dennis, or no?
Absolutely. I think, about 8-9 years ago, you had me on the scuba radio program looking for what a local dive club should have. And my suggestion was we get a Cessna Caravan on amphibs. And that was actually worth a set of force fins for that answer.
it was. So, you won a prize. Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. And, don't get me wrong, I'll go for a Grand Caravan as well. But I've zeroed in on the Kodiak because it's more like off-road. It's like an off-road vehicle for airplanes.
Well, it sure would make trips out to the Oriskany really nice. Instead of a two-hour-long boat ride from Pensacola, we could be on the wreck in 15 minutes. Think how much more bottom time we'd have.
True. That's the largest artificial reef in the world, Ed.
Oh, okay.
And it's an aircraft carrier, so landing a float plane on top of it, would that be considered a trap?
I don't know, but you definitely need floats because it's underwater, and you're definitely not going to land on that, that aircraft carrier. And if you do, you got bigger problems.
Yeah, you got bigger problems.
You're doing it wrong.
Yes, exactly. Well, there you go. An alternative to the $100 hamburger. There's always something new to add to your flying adventures, and we got more to share next right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. And during the commercial break, Ed starts talking to Dennis about this, Beaver?
Oh, yes.
So that's like a bigger version of the Cub or something?
Oh,
or?
It's not even in the same class.
It's a giant version.
It's a huge single engine that they use in the... It's a bush plane. It's plain and simple.
And it's a cargo carrier, like the Quest Kodiak. You carry that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so...
150 horse Pratt & Whitney radial.
Big round engine.
Load them up till the spreader bars hit the water and the thing will fly, you know? That's the weight and balance.
You had one of these as part of a club you were part of, or you had access to one of these for what exactly, Dennis?
So... I used to be the airport manager for the company that actually ran the Ely Airport back in the late 90s when I'd gotten out of the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And we actually had it was on charter. So it was a Part 135 charter operation, and we would fly canoeists and fishermen out of Ely, which is, civilization, and take them up into the Boundary Waters canoe area or in Aquatico National Park in Ontario. And you would either bring them to these remote fishing lodges or drop them off and let them canoe home. So we would have people loading up the canoe, strapping it to the side of the aircraft, putting fishing poles into the tail of the airplane. We had a specially modified fishing rod holder built into the Beaver so that we could handle 8-foot-long poles and, not have them hanging out the windows or getting and interfering with the control line, the control cables that are running through the fuselage tail cone. And
Yeah,
it was a really nice setup.
Hmm. Yeah, and the reason I know what he's talking about, as soon as he said Ely, that's a huge Boy Scout base up there. They call it Northern Tier. And a bunch of our scouts have gone up there, gotten on Beavers like that with the canoes strapped to the side, flown 80 miles into the Boundary Waters. They literally land, cut the canoes down and throw the gear into them, throw the scouts into them and push them off, and they paddle their way back to civilization.
Hmm. Is this kind of like a leave them in the wilderness and see if they make it out alive kind of thing?
That's so far we've gotten them all back, so I guess it worked. Yeah, that's what it's like.
I think Bear Grylls does a TV show like that or
he's
something.
A little more extreme.
Okay. All right, more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
J Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes.
I just realized where Captain Keith is, Ed.
Where is he?
You know, we don't have a full crew today because he's not here. He is at Burning Man, or the remnants of it, I believe. And I think that's what it was. He was going out to Burning Man to go, you know, be one with nature or something like that. And didn't make it back in time. You know, he's probably, I don't know, what do they smoke peyote or something out there in the desert and take off all their clothes and paint themselves and dance around with glow sticks or something. No? Isn't that how it works?
I have no clue what you're talking about.
I've seen video. You know, this Burning Man thing, you know, it's out there in the desert out by Vegas and stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I seriously don't.
You don't know what Burning Man is?
No.
Oh my gosh.
You got to remember, I have a job. I don't spend all day looking at the internet.
Okay, well, let me enlighten you. For those folks that
living
under a rock. No,
have jobs.
No, Burning Man, I know this because I looked it up on the internet. they basically, every year, for a week, they set up this whole crazy metropolis out in the middle of the desert. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, there's dancing, there's fireworks, there's bonfires and artists and all kinds of crazy nonsense, music, all hours of the night. And they do this for like a week or something. And then they...
Sure it's not the Democratic Convention?
They could be. They tear it all down. And the idea is to leave no footprint whatsoever. So
no trace. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So there's a camping out, you know, thing going on, but it's total chaos. So you know, you look at the video, it's like, wow, this is like the Mad Max movie, you know, come to life or something. It's really insane, some of the stuff they do out there. And I know a few friends that actually went out. And one of the big things is flying your plane out there. They have like a...
They put a runway in?
Well, no, they make one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they do that at the Farm Progress Show in the Midwest.
Is that what it is?
They put a grass runway in so you can fly right.
Well, it's
into
a
the
desert,
show.
So they just fly in and land. They create some area and set up some kind of runway area thing.
Cool,
and you can fly in there. And some of the pilots are doing that these days, I guess. And
sounds
then they,
like
you
fun.
Know, so, you know, it's like a Woodstock kind of deal. But
are you in Woodstock? Are you just sad that you missed that? You were too-
No, I have no interest whatsoever. I mean, I'm not a Burning Man. I don't like the idea of going to hanging out in the desert in the middle of the summer. You know, that just doesn't sound very appealing to me personally.
That doesn't sound like
You know, send me out to like...
if there was a Marriott there, okay, he'd go.
Marriott? Screw that. I'm talking about Ritz-Carlton type level of accommodations here is more my style.
So you're thinking Palm Springs, not middle of Nevada desert?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But, you know, it is one of those adventure kind of things. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd be interested in flying into Burning Man for a day and then getting the hell out of there. You know, go in there, take a look around like, oh, my God, these people are insane. Okay, that's kind of cool. All right, we're out of here. I wouldn't be one of those folks who'd want to stay all night and be there with the rave and the glow sticks and the, you know, whatever.
Whatever else goes on.
Yeah. But anyway, it's kind of a crazy thing, and you can look it up on the internet and see for yourself.
Yeah.
But now you know. Now you're enlightened.
I'm enlightened. I don't need to look it up. You've enlightened me.
Yeah, and you know, there's a like I said, there's a lot of aviators or pilots that go out there for this event. Matter of fact, Captain Clay, his better half, was planning to fly out there, and I haven't talked to him to find out if she made it back. So she might have, you know, She might still be wandering the desert as we speak as well with Keith. I don't know. But yeah. We'll get an update from her next week. But there's this other person that actually Abington from Abington Watch Company told me about. Her name is Ramona, and she goes by Sky Chick. You might have seen some, you know, she's done some DVDs and articles and magazines and videos and things. And I've seen some write-ups on her. I didn't quite understand what she's all about. But Abington told me this: you need to talk to the Sky Chick. And I'm like, the Sky Chick? That's not very politically correct, is it? But she's been doing it for like 15 years. So when she started, Sky Chick was acceptable. Now, who knows? I'll let her decide. But she still bills herself as the Sky Chick. And she evidently flies her plane like a, I don't know what it is, but it's a small little, you know, like a 172, a 182 type plane.
Yeah.
And she flies by herself out in the middle of nowhere, you know, into the wilderness, and documents it for these DVDs and things that she does, and passes along trips and or tips and things if you would want to follow a similar flight path and go experience nature in that sense. But, you know, some of the things she's done to survive, I mean, it gets into kind of crazy experiences because she's, you know, flying out in the middle of the wilderness by herself. And, you know, there's grizzly bears and God knows what else. So it's far beyond just going to remote, you know, airstrips with other pilots. It's like going out in the middle of nowhere. Do you have a desire to do that? That's kind of a Burning Man type of mindset, I think.
Oh, I don't know. I would love to do that.
You're a wilderness camper. Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you would go out in the middle of nowhere by yourself and camp under the wing, or would you have to have someone with you?
My only problem with going by myself is it's more enjoyable when you have somebody with you share it with.
It's kind of a social thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That it's hard to tell yourself a story at the campfire when you're by yourself at the campfire.
Well, you can, and there's no one there to witness it.
But would you know, there's also something to be said for a little solitude every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, Superman needed the Fortress of Solitude. So, you know, okay. I could see, you know, going to a backcountry airport by myself for a couple of days and just unplugging.
Or you're flying up to the North Pole, or what was it, South Pole? Where is
his was fortress? Up, I think, in the North
Solitude.
Pole.
North Pole? Yeah, okay. Fly up to there and go put in your gem or whatever into the, you know, console and rule the world. You could see yourself doing that.
No.
You identify yourself.
No.
As Superman.
I just realized if he needed a Fortress of Solitude, maybe I could use one.
Okay, and you're really thinking that right now, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I mean.
How do I turn you off?
No, you can't do this. I'm with you whether
there's
you like it or not.
There's three buttons you work over there. That's all there are on that whole keyboard you mess with all the time.
There's actually only two because Keith's not here today.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know. It sounds like a cool experience, and maybe we could pick up some tips from the Sky Chick. We'll try to reach out to Ramona.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Sounds like somebody fun to have on the show.
Well, some of the tips that I've heard that she has shared are a little bit more on the colorful side and a little beyond the norm, I guess, and maybe a little slightly off. I don't know. And I don't really know what to think about this, but once again, it goes back to packing certain types of things that you wouldn't expect to for a survivalist or a pilot to throw into their plane.
Hmm.
And so, I don't know. I'll leave that for when she joins us at some point, and we'll have to see. It just goes into what you prefer, I guess. If you want to go out there, like you said, and fly by yourself. I love when I did my solo flights. You know, I guess a part of that was kind of like that solitude element of flying when you're up there by yourself. And I was just thinking, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. And there's no one here with me. I'm flying this plane by myself. I'm flying all over the place. And this is just insane. There's a element of independence and empowerment to it, for sure, from that standpoint. But I don't know if I'd want to, you know, fly by myself and go land somewhere, not know anybody, and maybe fly and if I didn't land right and something happened to my plane and that I wasn't going to be able to fix it and there's no one to help me fix it except a beaver or a squirrel that's wandering
around.
Yeah,
not going to be much help.
Yeah.
No, I think that you're right. You know, you have to have a good plan.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she does. And, you know, you have to have a properly maintained airplane. You know, we were talking a few weeks ago about bush pilots in Alaska.
Right.
There are rules that they have to carry certain parts in the airplane and tools in the airplane with them if they're going certain distances away from their main base.
Like, what, a gun? Polar bears and stuff like that.
I'm sure they've got that, but yeah. I'm talking about parts for the airplane.
Yeah.
So, you know, and most of those bush pilots are also mechanics. But, you know, so, yeah, when you get further away, you can't just call somebody up to come get you.
Right.
Can't call somebody to come fix it. Although, you know, modern technology, our friends with the sat phones, you know, having one of those.
Yeah, we got our Global Star sat phone. You just call AAA and you're good to go. Something like that?
Something like that.
Okay.
Just remember not to call me.
Well, what do you mean?
I'm not coming to get you. I'll call your wife and tell her you're out there, see what happens.
Come on, I'm at least going to drunk dial you.
Okay.
And then you'll hang up on me accordingly. All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whoa, kill the motor, dude. Let us see what Squirt does flying solo. Watch me get ready to fly.
Watch me get ready to fly.
Oh, yeah. This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew navigating the latest aviation news and information. All right, so we haven't had a drone story yet, so I don't really have...
Oh, man, I was hoping we're getting through a week without a drone story.
Well, this isn't really a true drone story.
Okay.
It's kind of like the future of drones, because now, you know, it's one thing to have like a quadcopter, or last week we were talking about how, you know, Star Wars and Disney's coming out with the Millennium Falcon, their drone version of that for the Christmas shopping season. But, you know, the next step for drones is going to be actually flying real planes. And there's evidently a company already doing this. Did you know that? They're taking a full-fledged airplane and flying it remotely.
military's been doing that for years. They target drones.
Well,
you know, they just retired the last F-4 target drone. Now they're switching over to F-16.
Right, but I'm talking about in a commercial application where they could actually take over somebody's plane. Say you're flying in your 172 and you become incapacitated for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Right? They could just tap a button, take control of the airplane, fly you back to wherever you got to go and land it, and you're good to go. That's where they're talking about taking this. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Well, now, see, you learned something today, too. This is what happens when you read the internet, Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it is. Actually, I saw that on AOPA Live. Melissa and Tom were talking about that on their edition of their show last week. Mm-hmm. And that's in the works. So, that I mean, you know, and obviously they're talking about using drone-type technology in those planes. But this could be something of the future. You think? Do you like that idea, or is that kind of scary?
Kind of bothers me just a little bit.
Why is that?
Little big brotherish.
Little big.
Brother. That I don't really want somebody that can flick a switch and control my airplane.
Yeah. Well,
You know that. How are they going to know I'm incapacitated?
Well, I mean, you would have to tell them. It'd be. Like,
but I'm incapacitated suddenly. How could I do that?
Well, it'd be like I've fallen and I can't get up kind of button. You'd be wearing one of those around your neck. And if that happened, you'd press it and they say yes. So,
like, we have to have an EEG or EKG tied to us in the airplane to monitor us? Yeah.
No, it's just a little red button that you press when you've fallen and you can't get up. And in the airplane,
if I'm incapacitated, I can't press the button.
Okay, well, they just say you got a headache and you don't want to fly anymore. I don't know. We're making this too difficult.
But, yeah, well.
Tom and Melissa were talking about it in relation to a new electric airplane.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhere overseas, I forget. A couple companies are trying to.
Yeah, there are a couple working hard on electric.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're building this into their design. Maybe that's where, you know, they kind of took a segue into this electric airplane thing. So I'm not sure if they're connected exactly, but that's kind of where they went with this. And, you know, maybe that'd be a feature. I'll tell you what, though, that electric airplane looked kind of cool, too.
Yeah, there's one out there that is directly aimed at flight training that looks very interesting.
You can get an hour flight time out of it on a full charge, and that gives you another 30-minute reserve, which you have to have in order to be able to fly it. And depending on how you fly it, depends on how long the battery will last as well.
Well, and the one I saw, and I don't know if it's the same one, there are battery packs that you can add into the airplane for more range.
Mm.
But of course, it takes into weight, and so that's always going to be the trade-off. Now battery technology has gotten so much better that the batteries are lighter now.
Yeah,
it's making this now possible for the first time, and I'm sure 20 years from now it'll be commonplace because of the improvements in battery technology.
Well, for a trainer plane, that will be the you know, way to go for the future for you guys, wouldn't it?
I seriously think that it will have a big impact on what we do.
Yeah.
I think it really will, because obviously avgas is a significant portion of our hourly rate.
Mm-hmm.
And the fluctuation of avgas and the price of it significantly affects our cost of operating. So being able to eliminate that. Now, I'm sure there are going to be issues with, you know, electrical service and how much wattage it uses to charge it and all that stuff. But it's still by far less than what it would cost to run an airplane on fuel.
Yeah, and it's going to be more environmentally sensitive. But for taking off and landing, it's like going around the flight pattern. An electric airplane would be ideal. I mean, just like the diesel ones we were looking at.
Yeah.
And those haven't taken off yet. I don't know if I'm starting to wonder if we're going to see that jump. You know what I mean?
The thing, it's really slowed down, in my opinion, it's because the fuel prices went down.
Yeah.
And now it's not economical to put the diesel engine in the airplane at $4.50 cents a gallon avgas. That it takes it being up around $6 or $7 for it to be economical at their current cost.
Hmm.
There's still a huge push on diesel engines for foreign markets because of the lack of availability of avgas. They can use Jet A, which is available everywhere.
Right.
And what the FAA needs to see is more hours of operation on those engines to increase their number of hours between overhauls. Right now, it's actually replacement. It's 1,500 hours between replacement. Hmm. And so you have to buy a whole new engine at 1,500 hours. Their talk is at Continental, which is the main manufacturer of these engines, is they're trying to get that number up to 3,000 or even 4,000 hours.
Right.
And at that point, it is cheaper by about $10 an hour to run the diesel engine than the gas engine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that and we all know from diesel cars, they run forever. And so I think it's a great alternative. I think the electric one is an interesting alternative because it takes the fuel equation out of it. It's more green, as you said, but it's also going to be much quieter.
Yeah.
Not going to be near, and so it's also a noise abatement issue.
Time will tell. And we'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.